Welcome to the College Prep Genius Radio Show, where we can answer all your questions about getting college for free. Today, your host is Jean Burke, the author of College Prep Genius, The No-Brainer Way to SAT Success, and you can find her at collegeprepgenius.com. And I'm the moderator, Felice Gerwitz. Welcome. Hi and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz and I am here with Jean Burke and this is an episode of College Prep Genius podcast. And you can find more information at collegeprepgenius.com/podcast where you will find the show notes. Well, welcome Jean Burke to the show today.
Thank you, Felice. Thanks for having me.
Well, I am really happy to talk today about the PSAT because this is one of those tests that people have a lot of misconceptions about, and I think that's one of the things we handle on the show are misconceptions about these tests and like the rumors that get started and really are false. And as I was sharing with you, Jean, before we went live, was that I was at a conference and heard once again that the PSAT is just a practice test and it's not worth taking and not important. And I had to tell this lady, oh, no, you need to listen to the College Prep Genius podcast because we are going to be doing a show on that exact topic. And besides, if you've ever heard Jean speak and know her story, that is far from the truth. So let's just start a little bit about what is the PSAT, and then we'll get into some of the finer points.
Okay, great. Well, the PSAT is a test made by the College Board. The same people who make the SAT also make the PSAT. And it is simply a, you know, been described as a practice test. Everywhere I go in a lot of schools that I teach, they're still, you know, I'm still hearing the same information that, you know, that is really doesn't count. It's not a big deal. And, you know, as you have heard my story before and some of your viewers may not have heard it. It totally changed my family's life, but not just our lives. It has helped, you know, tens of thousands of people over the last 11 years since we found out how important it was. And, you know, it all goes back to about 13 years ago when my son Josh was in ninth grade as a homeschooling family, you know, one income, no money for college. You know, we really didn't know how in the world our kids were going to get any kind of money. And my friend just mentioned to me one day in her kitchen, hey, did you know that the SAT and the PSAT, there's free college based on these tests? And I thought, no, I've never heard that. So with my son Josh, we just kind of started going through the test. And, you know, we didn't have any money for any kind of expensive prep school that, you know, may or may not have worked. But we just started doing it on our own and trying to go through and look at the patterns and long story short, he became a National Merit Scholar off his PSAT score. He hadn't even taken the SAT yet. And we literally threw away 7 trash bags full of college offers. And these wow. included, you know, full ride, free tuition, free room and board, free money to study abroad in other countries, free grad school. You know, for colleges, the National Merit Scholarship Program is a bragging right for their schools. When they can announce that I have X amount of, you know, National Merit Scholars here, you know, it makes them look good. So, you know, they're willing to roll out the red carpet for you and give you just about anything that you want. And so, you know, my mailbox was stuffed every day for about a year after he took the test with people from, you know, from colleges all across the nation, you know, wanting him to come to their school. And so, you know, of course, certainly after my daughter got free college, my friends wanted to know what we did. And that's when I, you know, came up with the program, College Prep Genius, 11 years ago, and started teaching that. And, you know, over the years, you know, we've got so many students who have raised their PSAT scores as much as 60 points, become National Merit Scholars, gone to Ivy Leagues for free, you know, raised their SAT scores 600 points. And, you know, it all came down to, you know, taking that test. So when I still hear the PSAT is not important or it's not a big deal, I have to correct people and say, yes, it is. It changes lives. I mean, the average student pays about 20 years of off, you know, college loans. I mean, 2 decades of their life. And, you know, when I've been able to help families, you know, completely not have that debt hanging on their lives and be able to, have their kids go to the college of their choice, it is life-changing. So it is an important test.
Right. And so, you know, it is offered at, you know, certain grade levels is when they should take it, and it's offered for certain ages. So really 10th graders, what is the earliest, I guess, that you could take the PSAT? Is it 10th grade?
Well, if you go to if you go to the College Board website, it does allow you to take it even younger. You could even take it as early as the 8th grade. It says you can take it multiple times. And the problem with taking it in the 8th grade is that most schools are not going to allow you. They think that you can't take it 8th grade, and I always tell them to look on the College Board site, go to the source. But I highly recommend that all 9th and 10th graders take the PSAT. The great thing about taking it in those 2 years, because it only counts for scholarships in the junior year, but by taking it in both 9th and 10th grade, it helps your child not only get familiar with the test but and the testing environment, but also if you use the homeschool code for your state, you will actually get their test booklet back in the mail. So when they take the test in October, they get their booklet back in November, and then they get their scores back in December. So that gives you the opportunity to go through and look at how they worked the problems, see what they did wrong, and be able to assess them and work on them before the junior year. I mean, you don't want to wait and put all your eggs in one basket and show up on the junior year and just hope that you do very well. I mean, there's right. so much money and so many perks out there that you definitely want to have put time on your side and gain that edge that most students don't gain when they just walk in their junior year.
So would you focus on the PSAT then, or would you also have them take the SAT? I was going to say, so what we did was my kids have already both taken the SAT, and I have a 9th grader who did take the SAT already once, and he's getting ready to take the PSAT, and he'll be a 10th grader. But we weren't able to sign up for the 9th grade year just because I didn't talk to you then, Jean. I knew you then, but I didn't talk to you about it because I was told that we had to call the schools, and unfortunately they get so busy, give them the benefit of the doubt. I was not able to get with the person who ordered them, and they did not have a test for my child. And you were saying that we should just go right to the school and sign our child up. Not even say that we are homeschooled, just make sure that they're signed up to take it. And then when they get ready to take the test, they personally write their homeschool code down in their book. No one needs to know that ahead of time. Is that correct?
That is correct. You know, a lot of schools, it's very interesting because especially here in Texas, there are some school districts that actually start signing up kids in May before the October PSAT. So it's really best to check with the district that you're considering having your kid take the test at, to find out how early that they can take the test. Now that we're already into the summer, I would recommend that as soon as the school, you know, your local school or wherever you plan on taking it, whenever they get back into session, just sign up early. They do order those test booklets ahead of time, a few weeks. What I've seen, I've actually seen them. I was at one school that I taught at, and they opened up their safe. Because what happens is they come early, they're wrapped in very thick, heavy plastic, and they're put under lock and key, and they are not allowed to be opened up until the day of the test. So nobody mm-hmm. actually gets to see the booklets until the day of the test, which is rightfully so, because, you know, there have been companies that have been sued for actually getting a hold of an actual PSAT, you know, weeks before the actual test and using it to practice with. So they did get sued by the College Board, and, of course, the College Board did win in that case. And so it is important. Just get signed up. You can actually sign up up until the day of the test if there's extra booklets left over. And sometimes people will do that because they didn't really know about it or notice about it early. But you don't want to count on that because it doesn't mean that they're – you know, sometimes they order a few extras. Sometimes kids don't show up or they're absent. And there's a possibility that you could get in, but you don't want to risk that. And
that's what happened to us. Yeah, that's what happened to us, that we weren't able to get in because, you know, we didn't have that sign up. But I did email both people. I did speak with a lady at the school, And she did tell me, you know, that if I wasn't able to get through to call her back personally and she would see that I would get a call back. So it's the day school opens, I will be calling the school and making sure that we get him signed up.
Right. No, that's great. And it is important. And, you know, the sooner you can start, that's what I tell everybody. It is just so important. The sad thing that I hear over and over again after speaking for years at conferences and schools and libraries and, you know, various venues is, you know, I didn't know this was an important test. My counselor says it wasn't important, or my neighbor or my friend. And if, had I only known what the benefits could have been, I could have certainly prepared for it and had my student in it. And I think knowledge is the key. That's why I love to tell people about it. I'd rather tell you, you know, that this is important. And if you choose not to do it, then that's okay. But the sad thing is when somebody tells you the opposite. And, you know, I do speak at a lot of conferences, and there are people who totally contradict me and tell me again, you know. I'm sorry?
No, that's right. Go ahead.
Sorry. I do go to a lot of conferences, and there are other speakers that do contradict me. And, you know, I always tell people, whatever I tell you, you can back it up by the College Board website. They're the test makers. And so, you know, sometimes you'll hear things about, you know, your kids should never take the PSAT, you know, unless you yourself, the parent, was a National Merit Scholar. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. Well, I not only vehemently disagree with that, you know, my husband and I, neither one of us were National Merit Scholars. Matter of fact, I don't even know if we even knew about the test. But if, you know, if I had heard that before I heard my friend Sandy in her kitchen, I wouldn't be where I'm at today, and I wouldn't have, you know, the people lives change that I've been able to share with this over the years. But to tell someone that your child's not going to be a National Merit Scholar because you weren't one is really not only offensive, but basically you don't know the future. And to tell somebody that, you know, how can you do that? You're kind of saying,
right,
well, you're just, you know, your kids are dumb, and if you, you know, unless you're really, really smart, and then your kids are smart. So you got to be really careful with statements like that, because that's not true. You know, give
right.
your kids every opportunity that they can have out there. You know, and let them shine. Let them show you that they can do this. This test is not about your IQ. And I think that's another thing, which is another misnomer or myth. You know, when people start thinking about the SAT and the PSAT, it's, you know, how smart you are and, you know, what you've learned in school. No, bottom line is these are logic tests, and the questions are purposely misleading, and the wrong answers look very desirable, and that's why a lot of smart kids, even valedictorians, come to my class who bombed the test, and it's because they just don't understand that these really are critical thinking questions, wanting to know how well you can answer very quickly under a lot of pressure. And that's what they are.
Right.
They're not about your IQ at all.
Wonderful. And you know what, Jean, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come right back, we're going to go over some benefits of taking the test, as well as what's on it and how to beat the test. We'll be right back.
With College Prep Genius, free college can happen to you. That's right. It's never too early to start thinking about test prep to secure your future. Imagine getting free tuition, room and board, free grad school, and more based on your SAT score. College Prep Genius is the key to free. This award-winning, nationally featured program teaches students the logic behind the SAT. You'll learn to answer every question in 30 seconds, raise your score as much as 600 points, and go to the college of your dreams for free. Visit College Prep Genius to know more.
Well, hi and welcome back. This is episode 12 of College Prep Genius podcast, and you can find the show notes at collegeprepgenius.com/podcast. And today with me on the line is Jean Burke, who has been going over some of the life-changing qualities of the PSAT, which many of us have heard is a waste of time, and, you know, that our kids shouldn't take it. And I'm really happy that we have this podcast today, Jean, because, you know, these myths have been perpetuated, and I really don't understand why, because they're such a disservice to so many deserving kids out there who could get, college paid for. And, you were talking about the fact that a lot of critical thinking questions are asked on this, and, the kids are under a lot of pressure to get these, answers done quickly, and they really have to understand the test. So, let's go through first quickly, the benefits about taking the PSAT. Let's do that.
Okay, great. Well, there's a lot of benefits. Obviously, we talked about the unbelievable scholarship money that's out there. I think when we threw away 7 trash bags full of offers, I mean, it probably added up into, a few million dollars if I were going to go back. Unfortunately, I didn't save a lot of that information because this was all new to me back then. And all I knew is that, wow, our dilemma went from how in the world do we pay for college to where in the world do we go, because we had so many offers. My son went as far as California to look at school. My daughter went as far as New York to look at school. And, we're from Texas. And so that was the opportunities that we had. So the benefits, there were even schools that offered us like $5,000 spending cash on top of a full ride. I remember one school wanting to give a Mac computer, and that's back when Mac was really, really expensive. They're a little bit more affordable now, but a few thousand dollars for a Mac computer. So the benefits not only help you on to get into college and get your college paid for, it's ultimately going to help you on the SAT as well, because the only difference really between the SAT and the PSAT, even the new formatting, is it's shorter, there's no essay, and there's less math. So the younger students, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, that are working on the PSAT, that are practicing, are going to ultimately benefit on the SAT, because the SAT is used to get into college as well as get scholarship money. And since test-taking is a skill, it's something that I highly recommend that everyone incorporate into their home school daily, even 10 minutes a day or 15 minutes a day. There's no cramming. Cramming never works. But just by incorporating a little bit, it takes the pressure off, the students when they get older. Now, I do teach, every age, just about from 10, 11 years old up, all the way to seniors and beyond. But what I have found, because I do teach in many public schools and private schools, is that the average counselor will tell the student, go take your SATs in the spring of your junior year. That's kind of their first introduction to an actual test. They may or may not have taken the PSAT, but this is what they're told. And what's unfortunate about that is if you think about an average junior nowadays, he or she, has school, homework, part-time job, play sports. Maybe they play piano or take dance. They have friends, maybe a boyfriend, girlfriend. I mean, they're so overwhelmed and so much on their plate that to add in one more thing is just too much for them. And so that's why when you start your kids young and realize it's really a skill, it's going to benefit them. And by the time that they get into the junior year, test taking to them is just second nature. And for us, the icing on the cake came as we were studying for these tests, and we found out that really the strategies that we learned work on so many different tests, not just your PSAT, not just your SAT or your ACT. But, my kids both got 5s on their AP tests because the College Board makes those tests. My daughter went on to get free grad school because the GRE is also made by the College Board. My son got free law school because the LSAT is a logic test. I've got kids who've got perfect acuplacer scores for junior college because, again, the College Board makes these tests. So, and I've even had kids get free med school. The benefit of test taking goes beyond just your PSATs and your SATs. Kids are going to be tested the rest of their life, not just getting into college or when they're in college, but even when they get their own job or their career, they're going to be tested there as well. So there are so many benefits of learning how to take the test.
So let me jump in here. Okay, so you're talking about the benefits of test taking skills and the fact that the SAT is a logic test. With some of the fear coming around, with the changes in the test the changes in the test, like one of them we talked about in a previous show on the SAT, we discussed, some of the differences between that and the ACT, so people can go to the podcast website and look. But when we look at that, Jean, what we're finding is, you know, just exactly what you said, that it really boils down to understanding how to take tests. So it is normed. So go back to that a little bit. I know we've covered it in other shows, and sometimes we feel like we're repeating ourselves, but not everyone listens to every single one. Like we have the episode 10 is ACT, and then episode 11 is the SAT myth, which people can go back and listen to. But just talk briefly about the standardization and how, you know, understanding those, you know, the benefits of test-taking skills that are going to be incorporated along with the fact that they are standardized.
Well, it's the only fair way that a college can compare all students because, as you know, a 4.0 at one high school is not the same 4.0 at another high school. Every school weighs and calculates their scores differently. So do we homeschoolers. And so, you know, one student might go to a really hard school, very rigorous courses. Another school might go to – a student go to a school that's very easy. And so when a college is looking at the GPA, there's no way to compare the students. So the SAT is standardized. It's the exact same test that every student takes, no matter what state you live in, no matter what, how you're educated, homeschool, public school, private school, it doesn't matter. And so it's norming. It's and a standardized test must always follow the same patterns and the same rules every single time. That's why it's called standardized. And that's why these tests can be figured out. It's because, you know, every test is basically the same as every other test. And so you can't study for the test. You can't study for the PSAT or the SAT because they're not content-based or memorizing a bunch of stuff. They are logic tests, and you've got to study the tests themselves and how the questions are written and how the answers are written and notice the recurring patterns that happen on every single test. And that's how you can do very well. So it's really testing your thinking skills on looking at a question and being able to answer it under pressure in a very fast amount of time. You get basically about a minute per question. And, you know, again, most students, even really smart kids, are going to often spend maybe 2 or 3 minutes working the problem out or analyzing every passage, you know, and you're going to run out of time. So the way the questions are written, they are written in a way that certainly you can work it out the long way, or there's a way to answer every question in 30 seconds or less.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we teach.
Right. That's what you teach. So, okay, good. So, all right. So we know the benefits are, in a nutshell, you know, prep for taking the SAT, even though the two tests, you know, are somewhat different, with the PSAT having a little bit less information in the SAT and no writing portion. We know that if the children do well enough, that there's a possibility of national merit scholarship programs, which, you know, why wouldn't you take it just for that chance? And the third is that, you know, the kids would have some, you know, practice, if you will, you know, improving their skills, especially if they can take it a little bit younger. Where they can analyze what they did wrong and practice those sections. So to me, it seems like a win-win. And, you know, am I leaving anything out on the benefits?
No, you're absolutely right. Having heard other speakers talk about, you know, why have your child go in there, take it, and be discouraged, you know, life is full of discouragements no matter what. And we teach our kids to do their best. If they do great, that's awesome. If they don't, they still have time to improve on the SAT. And so, you know, most students don't prepare for the PSAT. Most students are told it's just a practice test. So that really gives your child an edge just to know that there are these benefits out there. But if nobody ever tells you that, then time passes by and then you don't participate. And then you hear that, oh, wait a minute, it really was a great opportunity for scholarship money. And then it's really disheartening to hear families tell me, you know, that they passed up the opportunity because they were told it wasn't important. And so, right. You know, it is important. And it's ultimately, like I said, it's going to help them with other test taking as well. So you're certainly not wasting your time when you're practicing for the PSAT. And I think that's what we have to really encourage our families is there are all these opportunities out there, and, you know, always go to the source. You know, the College Board, the company that does make the SAT and PSAT, they do list, you know, so much information on their website, you know, the importance of the test and, you know, how you can start early. And I think that that's what we always have to go back to is what they say. You know, these are important tests. There is unbelievable scholarship money. And it's in light, like we said earlier, it is life-changing, not only for my family, but we recently got a testimonial from a young lady, and these video testimonies are on our website, and she was from Carmel, Indiana. And she said, you know, I was actually going to take a year off after school and work for about a year to save some money for college. And she said, you know, I heard about your class, and I took the program in Carmel, Indiana, and she said, now I'm a National Merit Scholar, and I have a full ride to just about any school I want to go to. And we get those testimonies all the time. Every conference that we go to, we have parents or their children come up to us and thank us. And, you know, we tend to get our little phone out and do a video testimonial of them right then and there, you know, as they're telling us this. But the sad flip side of that is I often go to these conferences and I'll hear people will come up to me and say, you know, I wish I would have heard you 3 years ago because now we're at the end of our junior year or at the end of our senior year and we've done nothing to prepare. Or I'll have family say, you know, I'm so glad I heard you 3 years ago when I had a sixth grader, seventh grader, eighth grader. None of this college prep stuff was on my radar. But now it's 3 years later, and we have a full ride to just about any school we want to go to. And so this is the great things I get to hear. These are the benefits of just sitting there listening to people thanking the Lord that, wow, I'm so glad that I'm out here doing this because I get to see people's lives changed.
That's wonderful. It really is. And, you know, for us, it is so great to have this opportunity to do this podcast because we're getting the word out there. You know, this is, you know, just a little tip of the iceberg. We can't cover everything, obviously, that's in your course, Jean, but that's one of the things that we can do is educate people on truth. And the next point I want to go to is, you know, what's on the PSAT? And obviously, you have some tricks under your sleeve about how to beat the test. So let's discuss that. What exactly is on this test?
Well, the new upcoming 2015 PSAT will be the new formatting, the new redesigned test. They did release a actual test a couple of months ago without a lot of fanfare, so it's kind of difficult to find it. But if you go to College Readiness website, collegeReadiness.collegeboard.org, you can actually find one of the new PSAT sample tests. And I do recommend that everyone go to that and look at that. But what they've done for the new PSAT compared to the old PSAT is they've combined the critical reading and the writing section into one section and the math into a separate section. So now we've gone back to two sections as opposed to three, although you're really not getting away from the writing. They basically have repackaged the old stuff. And as we've gone through it, I just wrote a blog on decoding the 2015 PSAT that will be out on my website as well as in our newsletter coming up in the next week or so, just pretty much going through it. But, you know, it's the same old stuff. It's still logic. You still get about a minute or so, a little over a minute per question, and you've got to know that there's a fast way to answer every question. So you're going to have your basic passages with a bunch of questions on the critical reading section, and, of course, again, you know, you're given basically up to four passages, 24 questions, and 25 minutes to do it in, which gives you about a minute per question. And, you know, again, if you're doing everything the long way and reading every word and, you know, trying to analyze and interpret that passage, you're not going to do very well because that's not how the test is designed. It's not content. It's not about you treating it like an English class. So you've got to understand that there is a fast way, and the College Board purposely puts the questions out of order on, you know, in a way to trick the students. So you have to understand that. And then also the math section, you know, again, we're talking, you don't have to be a math genius to ace the, you know, the math section. It's really just a logic test, you know, using math as the medium and understanding that, you know, if you know your basic math and you know your basic math terms, you can do very, very well. You know, I get a lot of students who are really, really good in math that often tell me that the SAT section of the math is typically their lowest score. And they're really good and they love math, but they tend to, you know, spend time working out every problem and showing all their work. And, you know, that's not necessary to do well on this test.
So terminology sounds like it's very important in both sections.
It is. If you don't know what the word integer or tangent or product means, then you're not going to be able to answer the question. So you do need to know your math terms. I mean, and what the College Board does in the math is they basically give you a basic math question designed in a logic form, kind of in a weird, bizarre kind of way. They're not just going to ask you what is 2 + 2. They might give you a story about Susie riding her bike to the mall, you know, and then somehow in that story you've got to figure out that all you have to do is add 2 + 2. But they're not going to tell you that, because if they did, that would be simply math. But this is really logic.
Right. Okay. So, you know, some little tricks in beating the test. What would be some things that you would advise people to do?
Well, certainly never guess on the test. You know, right now, up until SAT 2016, there's not going to be a guessing penalty. But even when they change the formatting of the new PSAT and the upcoming SAT in 2016, you know, they're going to take away the guessing penalty. So students are going to, you know, have sort of a false sense of security of thinking, well, if I don't know it, I'm going to just simply guess. And I have a, you know, maybe a, 50, they might think they have a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, but think about it. If you've eliminated the right answers, then you have 0% chance of getting it right. So the key when it comes to getting a high score, one of the keys is realize that the test scoring is based on what's called the bell curve. And the bell curve means that every time a student gets a right answer, it's worth 1 point. And that 1 point is can convert it anywhere from 10 to 40 points. And so obviously the goal is to get the answer right, not just guess or not just skip it. So what I always tell students is, listen, when you come across a question and you don't know how to answer it, you know, you kind of give it a sort of a glance over and look at it and think, you know, I don't really know that one. You know, just put a star on it and move on and go answer as many questions as you can in that time frame. You know, every question is worth the same amount of points. You know, whether it's an easy question, a medium question, or a hard question, they're all worth 1 point. But then come back to that question, you know, in the end, because what happens so many times is our subconscious continues to work on that problem even when we've moved on. And so all of us can attest that we've often come back to a question and think, oh, wow, I get it now. I see it now. And so our goal for our students is, of course, to get the answer right as opposed to guessing and hoping that you get it right. So that's one strategy. And oftentimes I've seen kids drop their scores, you know, with a guessing penalty, you know, even a couple hundred points. But in the future when there's no penalty, you're not going to be gaining any points if you guess and of course, do it incorrectly. And there, even with four answer choices, you still have a 75% chance of getting it wrong. So, we want to get a high score. So, again, come back to it. So that's one strategy. I think another strategy is on the math, for example, students want to look at that math and all of a sudden they want to start thinking about formulas. They want to start thinking about, okay, what calculations do I need to do to come up with this answer? And what they really need to do is look at it more with a critical eye and realize, wait a minute, what is it really asking me and what is the fastest way that I can come up with an answer as opposed to doing some long calculations, because there is a really quick way for every solution. So we have to train our kids to think logically. And logic, by the way, and thinking logically is not a personality trait. It is something that can be learned. You know, yes, some kids are more logically minded. They're born that way. It's more intuitive to them. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that other students who are just as smart can't train their mind to be a good critical thinker. And that's why I'm such a big believer, especially for homeschoolers, if they can, incorporate some kind of logic curriculum or critical thinking program or puzzles or games, you know, into your daily schooling. And, of course, if people aren't homeschooled, kids aren't homeschooled, certainly, you know, do that as well, because it does make a difference. And they're going to be, their thinking skills are going to be tested, you know, from now on, not just on test taking and ACTs and PSATs, GREs and all those, but just in life. You know, we need to be someone who's not a robot, but someone who can think it through, and come up with their, you know, their own conclusion, not what's being spoon fed to them.
Very good. Well, we are out of time for this podcast, so I would recommend people go to the collegeprepgenius.com/podcast for the show notes of episode 12, as well as links. I will go ahead and link to your blog when you get that up, Jean. It will be in the show notes, as well as encourage people to head over to your website and check things out. And also where you will be speaking, Jean has her speaking schedule on the website. And for those of you that don't know, you can get Jean to your town. So check her website and you can find out how you can meet her in person and get her to teach one of these classes in your own hometown. So thanks again, Jean, for you know, giving us your time and your expertise in this area.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, thanks so much for listening to College Prep Genius. You can find more episodes at collegeprepgenius.com/show. Or listen on iTunes or your favorite podcast app on your phone, on your computer, on the go. Just remember, visit collegeprepgenius.com for more information.